I really am. And I want to believe that until I find where he fails, and I'm not expecting to ever find where he fails. You fail, I fail, but he don't. He really don't. Praise his holy name. It's a joy today to greet you in the name of Jesus. I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now, would you? No, there's victory ahead, and I know it today. I love him, and I praise him. If you'll pray for me a little while this morning, and I'll not detain you very long. I know you've heard a lot of preaching, but the Lord has laid this on my heart, and I'd like to bring it to you today. And I'm excited about Jesus. Are you? I really am, neighbor. Amen. I'm not living a dead life. I'm excited about the Lord. Blessed be the name of God. You know, Brother Isom Lee, and I know that some of you probably never met him, don't remember him. Maybe some of you have. But he used to sing a song that says, "Look away from the cross to the crown." Think about that for a moment. You know, if that was real in our life every day, I believe that all of us could truthfully say our life would probably be sweeter. Look away from the cross to the glittering crown. From your cares, look away. Look away. If the Lord will bless me for a few minutes this morning, I want to talk to you and use the subject, "Go on to the crown." Or even "From the cross to the crown." Go on to the crown. You know, you find life in the time that we're living today, in a world that we live in, when it's very much more discouraging than it is encouraging. Am I right? You find it all along the way, on your job, in the public, whatever you're doing. Sometimes you'll go home and cry and wonder why things are like they are. But I must tell you today that Jesus Christ did not fail. He went all the way to the cross. And then from the cross, through the valley, the darkness, come forth victorious and went away to glory. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? And you know what he said to us? He said, "Because I live, ye shall live also." Now, God didn't leave us in a world when it would get so hard in your life or mine that we couldn't make it. He's already gone along that path, and he knows exactly when our heartaches come in life. And I'm so glad of it, I don't know what to do. But I believe that when Jesus went to the cross to finish the plan, that he carried all the things that's too hard for Dixon in a Christian life. I believe he took them all to Calvary. And I believe that God conquered them there, that I could be able to walk in the likeness of Jesus and after a while have life and have it everlasting. I really believe that. I really do. Praise his name. Now I'm going to read some scripture that's very familiar to you today, found in the 12th chapter of Hebrews. If I remember right, maybe it's one of the preachers, and I read it in the revival, but this is what God has laid on my heart today, and I want to read it to you, and I want you to listen closely and think upon your life today. Think upon your life. The Bible said here in Hebrews 12, beginning with verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finish of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." He finished it, my friend. And now then he tells us to lay aside the things that weigh us down, the things that hinder us on the journey from this life, amen, to glory. Praise his holy name. So I want you to think now, when you think about a crown, and a crown is a band or a circling that circles around the head, and it shows honor and recognition. And the crown that Jesus wore on earth was a crown of thorns. I never read where it had any diamonds in it or where it was made out of gold. It was simply a crown of thorns that was plaited, placed on his head. And I believe when they put it on there, when they mashed it down on his head, I believe the blood came out and run down his brow. Oh, today he did it for me, friend. He did it for you. But it didn't stop. He went all the way through the cross, and I believe he was crowned when he got home to glory. I believe he was honored when he got home to glory. And let me tell you something today, Christian friend, you're not home yet. So you need not expect everything in this world to fall in your hands and parallel with your life if you live a Christian life. But whatever comes or goes, there is no excuse, amen, to falter or fail or quit on this journey. Bless it. Now, there are some things that must be real in our life in order to go, amen, from the cross we are bearing to the glorious crown. There are some things that must be real in our life. And God teaches it in His Word. I want to mention some of them this morning, God being my helper. And I want you to apply it to your life today. Amen. You know, my heart is burdened. And seemingly here lately it's been burdened as much as I've known in a while. And I'm burdened about people who have no desire. And they are placing things in their life and using them for an excuse of failing God in their Christian life. And I'll tell you something now. God knows where every one of us are at this morning. Think about that for a moment. He does. And I read in there where He said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me daily. Denying ourselves. Denying ourselves of some things in life. Are you listening to me? Realizing that everything is not going to be parallel with you if you're a Christian. It is not. You're not going to be able to do everything you want to do in this world if you're Christian. Because the Bible teaches us of the contrast between the spirit and the flesh. So therefore today we find many times that life in this world as we know it and as we experience it and sometimes as we enjoy it does not parallel with God's teachings concerning salvation in our life. So you think about that. The crown. Amen. On the head that represents honor and glory. Now I want to tell you something, friend. There's a crown for every one of God's children. You believe that? The Bible teaches it. But then I noticed something else. You know, naturally speaking, in the society that we live in today, and I want to try by the help of God to show you the difference in the crown that God has promised His people and the crowns that are portrayed and present in our daily world we live in today. There are three kinds of crowns today. One of them is a royal crown. That's the crown the king wears. And everybody looks up to him because of what he's worth, because of his authority, and because of his power. But it does not matter so much today whether you wear the royal crown or not. It profits nothing unless you're born again. All the awards that you might receive in this world today will profit you nothing unless your life is founded and grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ. Born again, if you please. But I want you to notice something. So the king wears the royal crown. And when he walks out in the public, it's a commanded of people that they honor that position and that crown that he's wearing. So today, if you're a child of God and you're born again Christian, you might not... I don't know why the word is so good to you. But if you're a real Christian, you need not count so much on wearing the royal crown. Because I doubt seriously this morning if there's a person in this church audience today that will ever be a king. I doubt it. Now you may be planning on it, and you possibly could. But to me, it don't make any difference. You hear me? It don't make any difference. Whether I ever, amen, become famous or popular in this world or not, it won't profit a whole lot anyhow, because by the time you get to where you think you have it made and you're enjoying it, your crown is going to be given to somebody else. Amen? Because every one of us will go the way of all the earth. So what value is the royal crown when you think about it? Blessed be the name of God. So I'm not going to worry so much. Amen. Brother Tim, I'm not going to cry because I'll never wear the royal crown. Because I'm going to meet the Lord just as I am. And it won't matter when you leave this life. Amen. Whether you are in society standing high or whether you're a little boy or girl out of the ghetto. It won't matter. The only thing that will really matter is whether you have been born again and bearing your cross for the glory of God. It's the only thing that will matter. But then there's another clamor, and this is the priestly clamor. And I guess today, over the whole universe, that this crown is noticed more and honored more than any other crown there is, the priestly crown. The priest wears it. And about every time I've ever seen his picture anywhere, there's so many people you couldn't even count them. It has such a volume on the world. But I want to tell you something today. I believe the only one, when you consider the priestly crown, that has really ever been worthy of wearing it was the Lord Jesus Christ that came from heaven. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now I'll tell you something else. This may be contradicting to somebody, but the priest, as far as I'm concerned, has no more power than I have. He has no more power than you have. I know I'm saying a whole lot, but I want to tell you one thing. There is no saving power in no man outside of the blood of the Lord and Nazarene that went to Calvary and died for our sins. Amen. That's it. Hallelujah to God. So then, the priestly crown. You may stand high, you may be looked up to, you may be even prayed to. But it won't do any good. Woo! Because I read in the book where he said, none other name is given among men whereby you must be saved except the name of Jesus. We may sit high, and I read in there where he said, though thou exalt thyself and set thy nest among the stars, yet will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. He that exalteth himself shall be abased, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You see what I'm saying? Thank God, help me to be humble. God, help you to be humble today. Let's worship Him as the Lord teaches us. And the day will come when there will be a crowning day, hallelujah, and what a joy it will be. So you see, the royal crown and the priestly crown values little. Amen. The king dies. The priest dies. The king gets killed. The priest sometimes gets killed. And leaves the crown to somebody else. I feel Jesus. But I believe there's coming a day when I will have the privilege to receive a crown. And it's not so much about my works, but it's because I'm born again and I am a member of the royal family. And because I'm a member of the royal family, then bless your heart, the children of God and the children of the family shall receive a crown that fades not away. Blessed be the name of God. And then there's another crown, and that's the crown of victory. Now then, my friend, let me tell you something. When the victory is won, sometimes the leader wears a crown because he led his army in a direction that he's won the battle. But I want to tell you today, the victories of society and the victories of the world are only temporary. Are you listening to me? Amen. Did you know today, the youngest person in this house, a teenager maybe, today could be crowned a king. And you may live to be 70 years old. But before you think much, they'll be giving that crown to somebody else. And you know, society likes to change who they give the crown to a lot of times. Are you following me? Yeah, about the time the person in show is wearing it, they've got it on, then here comes another one along, and society has decided that they're going to give the crown to them. And I may not be worth much myself, and I'm not complaining, just what I am. But I want to tell you something, friend. Amen. By the help of God, and by the leadership of God, and by an experience with Him, I've got a crown that no man can take. And that's no more than you can say if you're born again child of God. And you say, Brother Dixon, when will we get it? When the victory, the final victory is won. But it's not altogether a crown of victory. Listen to me. But it is a crown of life. Anybody in here know what I'm preaching? the crown of life. Thank God. And that crown of life will not last a normal lifetime of man in this world. But it will be forever and forever. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Thank God forever. But then after these three, there is a crown of one kind. A crown of one kind. And that is the crown of life. Now then, listen close to the scripture in James chapter 1, verse 12. He said, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life." Sounds like there's one. The crown of life, which the Lord has promised to who? To them that love Him. Amen. Now, you don't hear many testimonies of people, but what, maybe when they first stand up, they'll say, "I love the Lord. I want to say I love the Lord." That's wonderful. But unless it reaches out into your life, that you are bearing the cross for the glory of God, it's hard to believe you love Him. Am I right? Hard to believe you love Him. And unless you love Him, you're going to miss the crown. Are you listening to me? Blessed be the name of Jesus. So he said, "Now blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, the Lord shall give unto him the crown of life." The crown of life. Now notice something in this. We'll get on into the message further. He said, when you are tempted, when you are tempted. Let me ask you a question. In the last 6 months, the end of the church year here this weekend, how many times can you remember in your life that you have really been tempted? You have really been tempted. My next question is, did you yield to it? Did you give to it? Did you do what the evils and Satan and sin told you to do? You know what happened to the human race in the garden? Eve yielded to the temptation. But now God made no promise to the person who yields to temptation. He didn't. But He made the promise to the man that endured and the man that overcame. He promised him the crown. The crown. I like to say the crown. We often say a crown. I know it's referred to like that. But it's one of a kind. One of a kind, bless your heart. Praise His holy name. Can you imagine a little poor boy walking down the road? Amen. With nothing today. Don't even know how to comb his hair. His clothes tattered. His body filthy. Don't know where mama's at or daddy's at. Just living, amen, existing. Whoa! God loves him enough that He's got a crown for him. Won't it be wonderful to walk down Glory Avenue and to see some poor little person that had nothing, despised and rejected by the world, forsaken by his friends, and seeing wearing the crown and shouting the praises to the Lamb of God which lives forever. Wearing the crown. Wearing the crown. Paul said in Acts chapter 21 about verse 13. Now I'm getting down to what I'm really trying to say. You don't just haphazardly or accidentally get the crown. Amen. You know, I could spend some time now about Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus, and that's not in my mind at this time, but you know, after Paul was converted, I seen him standing out there one day and he said, "I'm going to Jerusalem." And the people gathered around him and they were crying according to the Word of God. And they said, "If you go to Jerusalem, they're going to kill you." And I believe I read it there where one man put on the girdle and he said, "If you go to Jerusalem, they're going to bind you just like this girdle I've got on." But Paul had one thing in mind. Woo! He owed God more than he could ever pay. Could I tell you today that I owe God more than I can ever pay? And he stood there and he said, "Why weep ye and break my heart?" He said, "I'm not just ready to go to prison, but I'm ready to die for the name of Jesus." Hallelujah. Now, my neighbor, this is the attitude we have to get in. in order to receive the crown. And we'll get a little further into that in a few minutes. But listen, listen to me closely today. Are we going to wear the crown? If so, then there is some requirements of us. And first of all, we must be faithful. We must be faithful. Now the Bible said there are some people going to come in that day, and they'll say, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? We visited the sick. We did all of these things. But he said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. We can polish our life, and we can make our plans, and we can go according to nature. But if we wear the crown, we must follow the instruction of the Master who's already gone this way. We must follow His instructions. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 2 and 10, and I know that just before this, He said, they'll cast some of you into prison for 10 days. But then He said, be ye faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. Amen. I think I'm pretty much persuaded today that being faithful is a great element in a Christian life. What do you think? Amen. I wouldn't take nothing from you. I hadn't done a whole lot. I wish I could do more. And I told them last night here at the church, I said, I'd like to win more souls to God. I'd like to be a better preacher. I'd like to be a better pastor. I want to walk with God. I want to fulfill His will and be faithful to Him. And it's our privilege. It's our privilege. Not only did He say that, He tells us in Isaiah chapter 40, along about 30, verse 31, He said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And then I read also in there where He said, be not weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Huh? Now let me tell you something. Be not weary. And it seems as though we're looking down the road afraid. We're afraid we're going to see something on this side of it. Are we going to see something on this side of it? And if it does, I'm going to be like the man that run back in the house, lay my hand on the plaster of the wall. And the Bible said the viper beat it. Said, had not the day of the Lord come. But here I go, down the road. I want you to look at it. I'm doing pretty good because I don't have anything bothering me a whole lot. And I come on down through here, and I meet old Don King down the road down there, and he said, I've never seen a fellow two-faced, you're one of them. Pretty good persecution, huh? Now, he didn't say that. But Sister Willis, I don't know if I'd have the grit and the grace to keep going like I was before I met him. Are you following me? So he didn't tell me he'd bless me if I yielded to this temptation. Now, the devil is trying to destroy your life as a Christian. And you got to be strong when the gainsaying is real. You got to be strong when the temptation is great. And you got to keep going until you carry the cross to the crown. Woo! How are you doing today? Are you faithful? Praise the Lord. Something else, I know I've got to go along. But now you find in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11, he said, the battle is not to the strong. You must endure. Number two, you must endure. Matthew 24, 13, Jesus said, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. I believe you read over Numbers chapter 27, along about there somewhere. Moses died outside of the promised land. Anybody agree? He died outside the promised land. God told him to lead his children to the promised land. But seemingly Moses had a problem, like a lot of us do today. And I know Moses is a good man. I don't want to condemn Moses. He was a great man. And it doesn't matter how great you've been in your life, don't you ever kid yourself that God, that Satan will come along and paint you a new Bible. He'll come along and paint you, hey man, a new way of life and make you satisfied in it. God told Moses what to do, but Moses decided to do it his way. I wonder today if there's anybody that's laying their cross down today because Satan has planned them another plan to get to heaven. And it won't work. It won't work. So we have got to endear. Boy, ain't it good to go to a meeting where there's a shout all over the house? Anybody here remember that? Is it not really good to go to a meeting where there's a shout all over the house? Hey, but how good is it to go when everybody looks at sad and something has happened and there's division and confusion and upset all over the whole congregation? And then, about the first thing hits our mind, we say, well, I think I'll just quit. Am I telling you the truth? I think I'll just quit. That's not God's way, my friend. He didn't quit. And I'm sure you'll never face what he faced. But he didn't quit. He endured the cross, death, despising the shame. The Bible said he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He endured it all for me. He endured it all for me. Praise his holy name. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, Paul said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. Be there when it's going well. Be there when it's a trying hour. Carry your cross for the glory of God. I throw this in right here. You know, there come a time in Paul's life when he said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, my friend, it wasn't real good friends that put the marks in there. Are you listening to me? It was not a smooth road down through there we traveled that put the marks in there. But he met the gainsayer. He met the opposition. But Paul continued to bear his cross for the glory of God until he had the privilege to take it to the crown. He did. He did. He had that privilege. How are you doing today? Praise the name of Jesus. Mark chapter 4, verse 17, Jesus said, they have not root in themselves. And he said, and they so endure for a time. But when afflictions and persecutions arise for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Well, Brother Dixon, I was a pretty good Christian 6 months ago. But I want you to know I've been hindered. And I'm going to tell you what I think. I just don't think much of the statement when somebody walks up to me and says, so-and-so got their feelings hurt, that's what's wrong with them. Are you listening to me? I just don't appreciate that. Amen. Now, I know sometimes we have to do what God tells us, if it's go overseas or go here or go there. But we don't need to sit down and quit, I'm telling you, just because that we have met with offenses and our journey's got rough. Keep going. We're not home yet. You may see a different congregation or you may see a different neighborhood where you live, but don't sit down and quit. Go for God. Go on until you get to the crown. It's very important. Very important. And I'm sure right now we got folks somewhere sitting down, hadn't been to church in a while, saying, well, that's a rut. They'll say, well, you know, so and so. Get ready, friend. We got persecutions coming. Anybody listening to me? We got persecutions coming. And you say, oh, preacher, maybe it won't happen. Well, if it don't happen, the Bible ain't the truth. Because I read in here where he said, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. They're on the road. They're on the journey from the cross to the crown. You'll meet them. You'll meet them. If you had no Jesus, I'd cry with you. While you faint and fall by the wayside, I'd cry with you. But since I have Jesus, there's no excuse. Hey, that's right. He's already been back here. I'll never get through today. Please wait just a moment. Another thing we must do, we must be overcomers. Overcomers. Is there anybody in here? Don't raise your hand. But is there anybody in here this morning that could just look up toward heaven and say, I love everybody? Huh? Or is there somebody in here saying, I'll never get over what he did to me? Amen. Now listen to me. You see, I'm talking about people who's bearing the cross and get to wear the crown. You've got to endure some things and you've got to overcome some things. Amen. And you know what I'm thinking about right now? I want to show you something that 90% of the people never think about. People today quit because of somebody, what they said, because of somebody, what they did, and they just hang their Christian life up. Well, I'll ask you, who's the winner? Who's the winner? Now, my friend, the person of whom you are offended has you in bondage. I don't know why I'm preaching this either. Go ahead and question if you want to. But the very means or the very person that has offended you and caused you to sit down and quit and have nothing to do with God and nothing to do with God's people and nothing to do with the church, he's got you in bondage. He's got you in bondage. We must overcome. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 21, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. If you don't ever overcome your enemy, he'll overcome you. That's what I'm talking about. Look at it. You know, sometimes that person that told that tale on you, that person that said what they said about you, if you got part of the church to go to him and face him, 9 times out of 10 he'll deny it. And you know what happens then? Somebody looks around and said, well, he said you told him. No, I did not tell you. You know what that makes? That makes him a false witness. You see what I'm saying? So when you yield to the temptations and you're not overcomer, and that person tears your Christian life down, he's got you in bondage. And I would venture to say today there's a lot of people that are in bondage because of one man's saying or because of 1 ounce of criticism in the church. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 2 and 19 said, of whom a man is, this is what I'm saying, of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought in bondage. You know, I believe a real Christian will love you. You believe that? I don't believe a real Christian will just deliberately hurt your feelings. And I don't believe, amen, that a real Christian today rejoices to see somebody else quit. And I'd apply that strictly to a pastor. But when you let somebody else tear your Christian life down, take a good look at him because he's got you in bondage. Have you ever thought about that? I really hadn't analyzed it that much until just a day or two ago and God spoke to me. He got you in bondage. More than likely, if he's in the church, he's still a-going. Huh? More than likely, if he's in the church, he's still a-going. He's carrying on just like he always carried on. But where are you at? Sitting somewhere in bondage, failing to bear your cross till you receive the crown. Praise the Lord forever. It's our privilege. God made it that way that we can. And then you find also in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and 8, there's something else. You must love his appearance. Are you in this house? You're saying, I hope the Lord don't come today because I'm not right with God. I got to get some things fixed up in my life. You know what you need to do? You need to lay your life in the hands of God and take up your cross and follow Him. Then you can rejoice that Jesus. If Jesus comes today, there's a crown for you. So He said, we must love His appearing. He tells us here in the Word of God, He said, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall deal to me in that day, and not to me only, but to all that love his appearing. Friend, a lost person don't love the thoughts of God, Jesus coming. No, they don't. Backslider don't like it either, I don't believe. They don't like it. But he said, there's a crown lately. Now, just before this, he told Timothy, he said, my departure is at hand. I'm ready to be offered. Fought a good fight. Kept the faith. Finished my course. There's a crown laid up for me. Not for me only, but for all who love his appearing. You find in there also, I believe, in the book of Acts, if I remember right, he said that Christ was once offered for the sins of many, and to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Hallelujah. I'm looking for Jesus. Anybody in here looking for it? He's coming again, my friend, as sure as you live. And finally, in our close of the can, the Bible said, the crown is not cheap. Amen. Now, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if it was $1 million or $500,000 spent for the royal crown. And I don't know how much all these people all over the world spend for a priestly crown. But I want to tell you one thing, friend. The saints of God have one that values more than all. And you say, Brother Nixon, how in the world can you say that? Well, I'll just bring it to you like this. If they paid silver for it, they dug it out of the ground. If they paid gold for it, they dug it out of the ground. And this thing was searched before salvation was given to whosoever will. It was analyzed in the world. And there was absolutely nothing that could buy this crown I'm talking about. Nothing. Nothing. God looked down from heaven and He saw man. That's another message. But then the Bible said He loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son. Now I want to tell you something today. Sister Willis, I appreciate your son Tim right there. I love him. But Brother Tim could not buy that crown. You get your little boy up, put your arms around his neck and tell him how much you love him. He's precious. If he's your dad like you ought to be, he's the most precious thing in the world. But he couldn't buy that crown. But back in the limbs of glory, hallelujah, there was the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten of God. The second in the Trinity. And He loved me so much that He sent to gain the same world that didn't want Him. That if I would accept Him, hallelujah, let Him live in my life and follow Him through an experience of grace, one day I can wear the crown because of Him. So it's not cheap, let me tell you. And that ought to make you stand higher today as a Christian to know that all the things of the world can't buy what you have in your heart. He tells us here in Revelation again 4:4, He said, around the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats, I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads a crown of gold. Where in the world they get gold? You forget that everything in this world that exists is God's anyhow. He don't even have to have a mind to have gold. Are you listening to me? And he said, John said, I saw yonder in heaven 4 seats. And on the 4 seats were 4 elders, and they had clothed in white, and they had on their heads a crown of gold. Look away from the cross to the glittering crown. Hallelujah. Praise God forever. Jesus will outshine them. The Bible said in Revelation again, chapter 4, verse 10, the 24 elders fell down before Him that sat on the throne and worshiped Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor. You know, I believe all of this lust we have, if we belong to God, when we get to the end of the way, we'll lose it all at one glimpse of what's waiting for us on the other side. I have a crown. What about you? I'm not worried about somebody getting fun of me. Get it. I've had a lot of things happen. Misfortune, so to speak, in this life when I thought I was going to, you know, I've had it happen. But I'm not worried about my crown. It's secure. It's in safekeeping. It's where a perfect bookkeeping's taking place. Amen. It's in a place where everything's right. There'll be no stealing. Won't be no lying. Won't be no greedy people. Everything is righteous. Everything you see will be right. Can you imagine? No, you can't. You can't imagine it. So, he just simply said, be not weary in well doing. For in due season you'll reap if you faint not. My closing remarks today is this. Look away from the cross
And that cross got heavy enough that it brought Jesus Christ to the ground. Of all the afflictions he already had, he fell underneath the load of it. But he didn't stop there. Are you listening to me? He didn't stop there. He went all the way up rugged Golgotha's hill and hung between the heavens and the earth, that I might be able to bear my cross for his glory and one day present it to him and change the old cross for a crown. What a blessing. What a blessing. I'd rather be saved today than anything in the world. And I could sing I'm a millionaire and I wouldn't misrepresent it one bit in the world. I would this life if you took it like that, but not out yonder. Not out yonder. Look away from the cross to the glittering crown. I want you to stand with me. Peter, I want you to come this morning. I believe. Amen. If Mel and Vicki would help you this morning, maybe Amy if you want to, but I want you to sing. I'd rather have Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus. Our sweet Jesus, what is it? He's the Rose of Sharon. He's a bright morning star. Precious Jesus. Amen. If we had no Jesus, we'd all be doomed, wrecked, and burned, and going to hell without a hope. But since we have Him, life is offered to whosoever will. You may be in the house today and you're not right with God. You may be in here and you say, "Well, listen, I've lived this life you preach this morning. I've went down this road and I've been discouraged. I've turned against God. I'm not happy anymore. But I want to tell you, I read in the Bible where He said, 'Little children, I write unto you that you sin not.' But He said, if you do, you can have an advocate with the Father, the righteous. And He is faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness." There you are again, happy on the road to glory. But you must come to Him. While they sing, let this go into your heart today. The most precious thing the world's ever known is Jesus. Amen.
Precious Jesus, sweet rose of Sharon. There's peace for trials when you speak His name. Lovely Savior, my sunshine in the midnight. He's my guiding star that's shining all the day. Who is as refreshing as an ocean in the desert, as lovely as the flower in the snow, who is as watchful as an eagle over the as gentle as the summer breeze that blows. Precious Jesus, sweet rose of Sharon, He's my guiding star that's shining all the day. Savior, my sunshine in the midnight, my guiding star that shines all the day.
God bless you. I want to say this. I feel that God wants me to. And I know that you have experienced it. But I've met people that has told me, and I've even met some in Mount Olive, that have told me, "Whatever happens, Brother Dixon, I'm not going to leave. I'm not going to leave my church." And I've heard people say, "You can count on me." And I'm not talking about people, amen, that was led in other fields and worked in other fields. But I'm still talking about people who just simply go home and sit down. And again, I say, who's the winner? Who's in bondage? Lift up your head, Christians. Lift up your head this morning. Look away from the cross and the burdens you're carrying to the crown that's waiting. Boy, that just about makes us get homesick, don't it? It just about makes us homesick when we know we've got a crown on there. Well, I don't know I'll ever get through anyhow. I may have pushed longer than you wanted me to this morning, but just done what God told me to. I told Brother Todd standing in the door this morning, I remember his dad before he died. I'd been to Coleman one day, and he went with me over to the hospital. We were coming back down the road. He got kind of quiet sitting there in the front seat. And a few minutes, he looked over at me, and the tears was coming down his cheek. And he said, Brother Dixon, just won't tell you. I love you. He said, I love you because of the gospel that you preached to my children. Not long after that, he left here, and I believe he went to glory. You can think what you want to. I know God understands and God knows. But he recognized something better than what the world today is leaning upon. I love you, and may God bless you is my prayer. I wish you'd sing one more verse. I don't know why, but before I got here this morning, the Lord impressed me. Open the doors of the church, and I'm going to do that today. We'll sing one verse. If this is the church that God leads you to and you're born again, child of God, then I ask you to come. I don't beg folks to join the church. I beg them to get saved. But I believe when you get saved, then you'll get in the Bible-believing church where you worship God. So very least you today, you go. Come on, sing one verse. Hey.
As an ocean in the desert, as lovely as a flower in the snow, who is as watchful as an eagle or her young ones, as gentle as the summer breeze that Jesus,
look away,
sweet rose of Sharon. There's peace through trials when you speak His name.
Lovely
Savior, my sunshine in the midnight. Guiding star that's shining all the day.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I know that most of you know we started a new church year last night in the business meeting. And if you love me, we're happy. If you don't, you have to put up with me, I guess, because they elected me pastor again for this coming year. But this is what I want to say, and I'm done. I want every one of us to put our hand tightly in the great hand of God. And when the meeting house opens and it's in our ability at all, come to worship God. Come to do something for Him. Tonight, as Brother Harry announced a while ago, is the night that we have singing here at Mount Olive. And I believe our church is blessed with singing, talent inside the church. And you might say, well, Brother Dixon, I'm not too interested in singing. Well, look at it like this, will you? And I know Edwin's my son, but I'm going to say this. He'll be here tonight if it's the Lord's will, he and Brother Jimmy and these other men, and they'll be doing their best for your church to have a singing where even as the children grow older, they'll learn and the interest. It may not do you that much good, but you could still be a help. You could still be a help. So think these things over. Look away from the cross to the crown. God bless you till we meet again. 5 o'clock this evening. Come back. Bring somebody with you. The Lord bless you. Shake hands with your neighbor. Glad you're here. Appreciate our visitors.